If you want to stand as we read the scripture, if you can. 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 11. The Bible says, these things command and teach. That's a good verse right there, ain't it? Amen. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Amen. Let's go, Lord, in a word of prayer. Brother Johnny, would you lead us, Lord, in a word of prayer?
Hey, Lord, we thank you for this day and for your many blessings.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you for this opportunity to come worship together, Lord.
Honor, yes, Lord.
Glorify you, Lord. We pray that you continue to be with those that are sick, Lord, in need of your healing touch. Lord, we pray, Lord, be your will.
Yes,
Lord. Reach down and touch them, Lord, and heal them. Lord, bring them off any bed of affliction that they are.
Yes.
Lord, we pray that you go with us now in the preaching hour. Bless the preacher. Give him the message, Lord, to stand and leave, need of. Apply it to our hearts, but also give us the encouragement and courage to go out and do what it is you'd have us do with it. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you continue to bless this church. Let it be used without doing with thy kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Thank God for good humble prayer. Thank God for his word. And I've been last few Sundays, I've been sharing a little something that was comical or whatever. Am I not? I think I'm on. I might be crinkled up here. Tried to tell these people how to put their little lapels on, and I didn't get mine on straight. You hear me now? You hear me now? You better get everything straightened up before we move you back there. I hear something. All right. Hello? All right. I hear something now. Amen. Well, but like I said, I've been sharing something that's a little bit funny, and I guess this is kind of funny right here, so that'll just be for that'll have to do for this morning. No, I read a little thing some time back, and I thought this went along with a message too, about 10 little Christians. I want to read that to you again this morning. 10 little Christians standing in a line. One disliked the pastor. Then there were 9. 9 little Christians stayed up very late. One slept in on Sunday. Then there were 8. 8 little Christians on their way to heaven. One took the low road, then there were 7. 7 little Christians chirping like chicks. One disliked the music, then there were 6. 6 little Christians seemed very much alive, but one lost his interest, and then there were 5. 5 little Christians pulling for heaven's shore, but one stopped to rest, and then there were 4. 4 little Christians, each busy as a bee. One got her feelings hurt, then there were 3. 3 little Christians knew what to do. One joined the sports crowd. Then there were 2. 2 little Christians, our rhyme is nearly done. Differing from each other. Then there were 1. 1 little Christian can't do much, 'tis true. Brought his friend to Bible study. Then there were 2. 2 earnest Christians, each one, 1 more. That doubled their number. Then there were 4. 4 sincere Christians worked early and late, each one another. Then there were 8. 8 little Christians, if they doubled as before, in just a few short weeks, we'd have 1,024. In this little jingle, there's a lesson true. You belong to the building or to the wrecking crew. Here in 1 Timothy chapter 4, and as I said, boy, 11, verse 11, get us started off right. These things command and teach. But then he says, and we've you've heard this before, an admonishment directly to Timothy, and as he admonished Titus also. Let no man despise thy youth, he says. Let no man despise thy youth. And then he tells him to be an example. And then he tells him to give attendance to reading, exhortation, doctrine, not to neglect the gift that God's given him. Maybe that's a direction of those that dwindled down to just one. Think about it. He says, meditate on these things and give yourself wholly to them. And then he says in verse 16, this is going to be good to continue like this, because in doing so, you save yourself and them that hear you. He said, you're affecting others. I heard there was a message not long ago, I believe in one of Brother O'Malley's messages during the tent meeting. And I'll just tell you where I got this thought to start with. He made a statement in one of his messages. This wasn't his message, but he made this statement. He said, we need more examples and less illustrations. Or particularly, he was talking about bad illustrations. And I'm convinced, you know, we need to be a witness for Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible tells us we ought to be witnesses. And, you know, that word witnesses, like I've said before, it comes from the Greek word martos. It's the same word that we get our English word martyr. Martyr is someone that's given his life. Now, it doesn't mean we have to do that to be a witness, but that's a strong meaning of the word witness. And somebody said, well, you know, it's just like in the courtroom. We're either a false witness or a good witness. You know, there's witnesses for the plaintiff. There's witnesses for the defendant. And then sometimes even something that's said in one of those can bring harm to the other one's case if it's not a good witness for that person. Somebody said, that's the way we are. We're either a good witness or we're a bad witness. We're either a false witness or a true witness for Jesus Christ. And I said, man, I believe that's true. In fact, I started studying that little Greek word. In fact, if you find it talking about a false witness, sometimes it's just the same word. There's just been a prefix that's added to it. And so to just show you the connotation that it's a bad witness instead of a good witness. So we need that. We need to be an example, not an illustration. We need to be more examples in these days that we live in. Verse 12 says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. He said, I want you to be an example. And I thought a lot of different passages, a lot of different places we could look, thinking about, talking about an example for Jesus Christ. And there's a lot of places that we can look, but I was thinking about a couple of different thoughts, and then the Lord directed my mind to this passage right here, because he gives several different things that's mentioned here. In fact, two of them kind of go hand in hand. So I'm going to look at it like that. There's six different things mentioned here, but I'm going to make it a three-point message. Amen. Every Baptist can say amen to that on Sunday morning, getting this close to 12 o'clock. Everybody can say amen to that. He's going to take and I don't know anybody's ever done this now. I'm taking a six-point message, but I'm going to preach you a three-point message out of a six-point message. I'm combining 2 points, okay? So that'll help you, all right? First of all, I want you to think about this. In word and conversation, both in word and conversation, praise God, we need more examples. Those kind of go hand in hand. I mean, in fact, it's really the word, what you speak, what you say and everything, but also your conversation there. We think about that word, talk about words and learn a little bit about words. Conversation, we talk about today, and we think of it as just talk. We're sitting down, we're talking with somebody, or we're on the phone, we're having conversation. Amen. Of course, there's a lot of different ways to have conversation now, you know. Amen. Wife sent me sometimes these text messages and everything, and sometimes she'll send me a text message and just say, let's communicate, okay? Because I have this phone service, too. It's voicemail, and use it for the church also, that toll-free number, and the service is called Communicate, because somebody can send me an email, they can send me the text message, they can call, they can leave a message, they can talk to me. You know, there's a couple different things you can do there, but you're communicating. But the word conversation is more than that. The word conversation means your whole manner of life. It's what you're doing, what you're participating in, how that you are. And so these both kind of go hand in hand. So think about it. In word and in conversation, praise God, we need more examples of godly living. Need more examples of godly living, not And we need less illustrations of yielding to sin. It's one side or the other. I mean, we're either having more examples, praise God, of some godly living, or we're having more examples of yielding to sin. I say we need less examples of yielding to sin. We got enough of them. You don't have to be an example that way. You don't have to become an illustration that way. We got enough in God's Word. Amen. God's given us His Word for our example, for our admonition to realize and understand that people, hey, if God, I tell you, that's one reason you know God wrote this book. Amen. If man had wrote this book, he wouldn't have put all his mistakes in there. Amen. Man would have said, no, I can't put that in there, Lord. Hold on a minute. He said, no, wait a minute. You're moved to the Holy Ghost. You got to put what I want you to put in there, not what you want to put in there. Man would have said, let's leave out some of these illustrations. This looks pretty bad on me. This looks pretty rough. And it is many times. But we don't need more illustrations. We need more examples of godly living. Less illustrations of yielding to sin. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, and here's a godly example of Moses. The Bible says he was choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect under the recompense of the reward. He said, I'm going to choose to be an example. I don't want to be an illustration of yielding to sin. I'm going to choose to be an example for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If I ain't got a lapel mic, I don't know if I'm going to have to jump up and down more or go around like this with this mic or something. I don't know. But anyhow, thanks be unto God that there is some godly examples in the Word of God. And God's people can still be in a godly example in this day. Yes, amen. Amen, we need that. We need to be that example to those that are coming up, talking about graduates and everything. They're making a lot of decisions and a lot of choices in the days to come. They need a godly example. They need somebody to follow after that's going to live for Jesus Christ. They need some godly examples of godly living. Moses said, I'm going to just choose to follow the Lord. I'm just going to choose. There's pleasures in sin for a season. But he said, I don't want to take that route. I want to follow after God. Somebody says about the young people all the time, well, they just got to go sow their wild oats. You can't find that in this book. You don't have to sow them wild, stinking oats. Amen. You can live right. You can do right. You can have a godly example also to others. You don't have to yield in to what the peers say and what everybody else is doing. Praise God. God's people can take a stand for Jesus Christ. We can live godly and be a godly example to this world. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, a verse we're familiar with, it says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. You got temptations coming. We all have them. You got trials coming. You have the devil trying to get you. I mean, can you imagine? We're talking about Moses. Can you imagine? Moses is living in the Pharaoh's house. He had everything he wanted. And the devil said, stay with those riches. Stay with that comfortable position you have there in Pharaoh's household. But no, he said, I found something better. He esteemed the riches, the reproach of Christ, greater riches than all the riches in Egypt. He had some greater treasures, praise God. Like we sung a while ago, I found a treasure in the Lord. I found those riches in Christ. The Bible tells us that he said, I know I ain't finished reading that verse, but amen. There no temptation common to man, but the Bible says, but God is faithful. Ain't you glad that even though there's some ups and downs in this world and we're up and down and we're unfaithful sometimes, but God is always faithful. God is always true. God is always right. Hey, you say, well, I can't find too many examples. Well, we can always look to the Lord. Amen. That's the one we're supposed to be looking to anyhow. But it's sad that we don't have more examples. We need more examples and less illustrations. Illustration of yielding to sin here. The Bible tells us that God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you'll be able to bear it. You say, preacher, it feels like I can't find my way out. It feels like, things are just rough. I just don't understand. Well, regardless, praise God, God said that He'll make a way of escape. He'll make a way of escape. You'll be able to bear it. You'll be able to make it through. You'll be able to do it. I mean, this day and time, that's a stand right there, ain't it? In this day and time, I tell you what, we stick through some of these trials and temptations. We stick through some of these things and financial difficulties, and everybody's going to look at us and they're going to see a godly example of somebody that's holding on to Jesus or not holding on to the world. And thank God that'll be such a testimony in this day. I agree with what the brother said not long ago. I heard, and I said, listen, we've got a wonderful opportunity right now in these next 6 months, next 9 months, however long it is, maybe longer than that, but we've got a great opportunity now to take a stand for Jesus Christ. Amen. In troubled times, God's people hold on to the rock that's higher than them. When God's people take a stand and through that temptation, they say, it doesn't matter how bad it gets, God's still faithful. Doesn't matter how bad it gets, God said He wouldn't put more on me than I can bear. Doesn't matter how bad it gets, God said He'd make a way for me to escape. Gonna make a way for me to get out of it. Praise God. We need more examples in word and in conversation. We need more examples. Bible tells us in Romans chapter 6 and verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you obey it in the lust thereof, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. You yield yourself to the devil. And there will be another bad illustration. There will be another illustration of one that's drifted away. We don't need that. We need more godly examples of somebody that's going to take a stand for Christ and say, I'm not going to let sin reign in my body. I'm not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. But I'm going to follow after the desires of God in my heart. No doubt there's a lot that the world can look to. You know, they'll say that. In fact, people are looking. You don't think they are? They are. People are looking at your life. I mean, somebody, they've been working with that church thing. They've been going to church for a while now, but I'm watching them. They're going to mess up. I'm watching them. They're going to fall. I'm watching them. They're doing okay right now. They're coming pretty regular right now. Going down there that gospel way. I don't know what all is going on over there, but they're going over there that gospel way, and they're a little fanatical over there. But I tell you what, you watch them a while. They're not going to be going back. They're going to fall. We don't need that illustration. We need that godly example. They look down the road another year, another 2 years, another 3 years. Man, they're still in there. What's going on with them people? They're still in there over there at Gospel Way. What's going on down there? They might come around and check it out. Yeah, Brother John, they might come around and check it out, find out what's going on, praise God. Then I pray it'll be like old Charles Haddon Spurgeon had over there in London, England for many years. They had the reputation of the Metropolitan Tabernacle being a soul trap. Said, man, you better not go in there. If you lost, you better not go around over there. You'll get saved. It's old soul trap. Hallelujah. Praise God. They used to do that. Them guys run them little buggies. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, take your mind back a little bit. No cars. They didn't even have no cars back then. They got these little buggies and the horse and buggy deal, and they're giving a tour of London. And they say, and on that tour, they come around the Metropolitan Tabernacle. They say, did you hear about that Charles Haddon Spurgeon? Yeah, I've heard about him. Boy, I'd love to see that church. Yeah, he started over in the Park Street Chapel, and that thing just packed out every Sunday. They had to build a new building. They built that big old Metropolitan Tabernacle, and he had preached from that high pulpit. And there was a group of people down here, and there's a group over here, and back there they had a balcony that went all the way around the auditorium. And he said, man, I want to see that place. I want to go by there. And a lot of times some of the coach drivers, if they were saved, they said, now listen, you better be careful going around there for service time. If you ain't saved, you'll get saved. Amen. It's called a soul trap. Praise God. Ain't that a blessing? He met and he preached, and he had a group of 30 to 50 men that were under the pulpit down in the basement praying while he was preaching. that God would anoint the man of God, that the preaching of the Word of God would be so powerful that folks would not leave that building lost and undone without God. They'd have to get saved. And it happened over and over again. We need some more examples like that, don't we? Not only that, but second of all, let me say, we need some examples in charity and in spirit. I'm still in the book here. Look at verse 12 where he said, in word and conversation, but he also said in charity and spirit. And I think those group together good too. You think about that love. Hey, what's going to bring us to that love and that giving and that heart for doing what we need to do? It's when we're yielding to the Holy Spirit of God. It's when we're yielding to the Lord and yielding to our spirits lined up with His Spirit, praise God. And we're doing what God wants us to do. We need more examples of a Christ-like attitude. We need more examples of a Christ-like attitude. We need less examples of a worldly attitude. You say, oh man, Rachel, listen, what about so-and-so say about it? What does Dr. Phil say about this, you know? What's Oprah saying about it, you know? If you're saved, you could care less. Hey, man, you could care less. What does God say about it? What does His Word say about it? That's what directs us. That's our final authority. We get it from God's Word. We have that attitude, praise God, that says we're going to go the extra mile. You say, oh man, I mean, you know, that person's done me wrong. That person did. I mean, there's folks that did me wrong, and there's folks that took advantage of me, and you'll never hear about it. You'll never hear about it from me. You'll never hear about it. There's folks done my family wrong. There's folks done us wrong. I remember one time as a preacher one time, can't find out how much money we had, and it wasn't much, but he just subtly kept borrowing it until it wasn't much at all. Wasn't nothing left. But I'll never tell you who he is. I don't guess my dad will tell you, mom will tell you. They ain't going to tell you who it was. It doesn't matter. You say, oh man, that ain't right. That ain't the way you should do. Oh, you ought to get that money back. You ought to demand that. No, we ought to go the extra mile. We ought to have a Christ-like attitude. We ought to have an example, praise God, of somebody that's different than the rest of the world. Somebody that's different than the rest of the crowd. Have that Christ-like attitude to love and to forgive folks. There's no way in this world we can be as long-suffering as the Lord is, as forgiving as the Lord is, but that's your example to follow. That's my example to follow. And praise God, one of these days, I mean, it'll resonate in their heart. It'll resonate in them. Now, that just ain't the way everybody else has done me. That ain't the way everybody else would have treated me. Why in the world did he do that? Why in the world did she do that? There's something different about them. Praise God. That's an example of a Christ-like attitude. The world says, oh man, let's get them back. Let's get our retribution. Let's take out whatever, you know. But the Lord says, no. Look what the Scripture says about him. And John 13:15, he said, for I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. He said there in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, a wonderful book wrote many years ago. I believe Charles Sheldon wrote that book, In His Steps. One thought to come out of that book, and some have twisted it around. I don't even think they know the answer. But he asked the question, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? But he got it from this passage right here, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. It says, for even hereunto ye are called, but Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow His steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth. That'll back us up to point number one right there. Amen. Example in word and conversation. Then an example in charity and spirit. Listen to this. He said, who when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. I say, well, I'm just not getting my, if I don't get back at them, if I don't do this, I'm just not getting my justice. I'm not getting what's due me. Well, you really don't want what's due you. Nobody else really wants what's due them. The only thing we deserve is hell. Amen. Yeah. The only thing we deserve is hell. The only thing we deserve is the wrath of God. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Better we get a hold of that and realize that, the better off we'll be. We realize we're all sinners saved by, if you're saved, you're sinners saved by the grace of God. You're still a sinner. That we come short of God's glory. So we don't deserve the least of His mercies. We don't, as Jacob said, we don't deserve the least of His mercies. We don't deserve the goodness of God. We don't deserve the blessings of God. But thanks be to God. He loves us, and on top of that, He gives us His blessing and His goodness. In fact, sometimes He blesses us in spite of us. Amen. You ever had that to happen? Amen. He blesses us in spite of us. See a blessing from God and everything, and I say, Lord, what in the world is this all about? I've been whining and complaining all week long. I've been worrying and fretting and whining and complaining and murmuring, and I'm just upset trying to figure it out my way, trying to get everything put together my own way, and then God just comes by and blesses me. God just comes by and takes care of the need. And I don't even have to do nothing. And I say, my goodness, why did I go through all of that? Why did I spend all that time of worrying and fretting? Why did I spend all that time? God's good. God's good to us. We need more examples of a Christ-like attitude, less illustrations of a worldly attitude. Scripture says in James chapter 5, verse 10, it says, take, my brethren, the prophets whom spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Heard a preacher preaching this morning. He was saying, he was right in line with my message. I started to use a few of his points. But he said this morning, he said, you know, all things that the Lord instructs us to do is just completely opposite from the world. And the world looks at it and thinks it's crazy. I mean, the Bible tells us we can have joy in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, and experience hope. Romans chapter 5. Hey, the Bible tells us that we can glory in those tribulations and trials. The world has no idea of that. The Bible tells us the way up is to go down, to humble ourselves, to get out on our knees and humble ourselves before God. That's the way to be lifted up. The world doesn't say that. You're never going to go to a business seminar and they're going to tell you that. No, they're going to tell you, you know, way up, step on everybody else, and way up, you make sure you get in there and you put your best foot forward and everything. And no, the Lord says you need to be humble before me and I'll lift you up. How'd I get off on that? All right. But think about it. He said, we count them happy which endure. He said, there's some examples of some people in the Word of God. Then he goes on to say, you have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord. Hey, you seen the end. You seen what God done in the end after everything was done. What happened? He had lost everything. He'd even lost his children. But God gave him twice as much as what he had. And he's already the richest man in the East. So by the time it's done, he is twice the richest man in the East. He got everything back that he had lost, and even God gave him 10 more children. He said, we didn't have 20. Yeah, he did. He had 10 in heaven and 10 more on the earth. So he had double children too. God's good. Hey, listen. Think about it. We need more examples of that Christ-like attitude. They'll say, I don't know how in the world you're making it. I don't know neither, but I'm trusting in God. I'm just making it by God's grace. And last of all, let him give me this one. Say, preacher, it seemed like you was going to do 3 points, but you spent too much time on the first two. Well, let me look at this. He said, example of what? Last two it's mentioned, faith and purity. Faith and purity. How are you going to put those? Well, think about it. If we're faithful, we're going to be pure. Amen. If we're pure, it's going to lead us to faithfulness. They go hand in hand. Think about it. We need more examples of faithfulness, less illustrations of failure. More examples. We got quiet. I got to say that at least one more time. Think about it. More examples. Were you letting it sink in? Is that what's going on? Brother Malley says two reasons to be quiet in church. One is you don't understand what the preacher is preaching, and the other is you do understand what the preacher is preaching. More examples of faithfulness, less illustrations of failure. You say, why didn't? If I'm not faithful, I'm failing. Yes. You're failing the Lord. We're failing the Lord. The Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17, it says, brethren, be ye followers together of me, and mark them which walk, so as you have us for an example. He said, there's some examples of a faithful life. I mean, Paul was trying his best to be a godly example to Timothy. Paul was trying his best to be a godly example to Titus, and I believe he was. Boy, he said at the end of his life, I've finished the course. What the Lord's laid out for me to do, I've done it. I've kept the faith. I've been faithful. I've been there, praise God. So he could say he was a godly example to others. More examples of faithfulness, less illustrations of failure. Bible tells us in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, and God spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes. There's those illustrations I was talking about. It said that they were turned into ashes and condemned them with an overthrow. And he says, making them an example, unto those that after should live ungodly. So here was an illustration. Here was a bad example, if you will. Here was an illustration of failure. They turned their back on God. They turned away from the Lord. Oh, listen. Like I said a while ago, praise God. We got something to thank Him for, and we got something to be excited about. We got something to be glad about, to know that every temptation we go through, everything we face, God is going to be faithful to bring us through it. God is faithful. Sometimes we're not faithful. Even though He's faithful to us, even though He never gave up on Calvary, even though He never turned His back on us and never will turn His back on us. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I gave that little illustration. I preached it before, but I gave it a little in the devotional. The Baptist bread, they put it in there some months back where I said in the book of Hebrews, word forsakes in there in some form or another three different times. And one time it talks about the Lord. He said, I'll never forsake thee. I'll never leave thee, nor forsake thee. And another place it talks about, in the example of Moses that we read later on, he's talking about not forsaking those things. And then the other place is for us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. I said, ain't it something that there's examples of godly a godly example and the Lord's example of Him never forsaking us. Sometimes we fail and forsake Him. Scripture says in Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible says, let us labor therefore to enter into rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Unbelief. Unfaithfulness. But the Lord tells us a good example here for the believers is in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. We ought to do right. I was thinking about that, talking about doing right and living right. They said, oh, Bob Jones Sr. for many years in his little chapel talks to the graduates and to those that were at school. Many times he would just say it over and over again. He'd say, do right. He'd pound the podium. He'd just say, do right. Do right. Do right. I even heard some say that they thought old Bob Jones Sr. was getting a little senile in his later years. That's about it. They said that's about all he'd say. He'd just get up there, he'd have a little old short talk with them, and boy, he'd end it by saying, do right, do right, do right. He'd say, if the stars fall, do right, do right, do right. If the stars fall, do right. I don't think he's crazy. I think he's on track. They got off track after he died. Amen. But they were on track, praise God. He's keeping them on track. And the Lord will keep us on track if we'll just follow him. Got so many great examples. We can be a great example. We got plenty of illustrations of failure. We got plenty of illustrations of that. We don't need more illustrations of that. We'd need more examples. I've asked Brother Will if he would come around with the song. Lord knows your heart. All right, man, it's good to have Miss Davis. Why don't you come around and play something, sister? You hadn't been able to be with us some. Appreciating her and her mom. Keep praying for Miss Holbrooks. And we know it's a privilege for her to be with us this morning. We know she's been taking care of her mom. Continue to pray for her. A godly lady that pastor's wife for many years. Every time I talked to her, she said, well, I know what preachers can go through. I know, because I was a preacher's wife. Amen. Everyone stand if you would. Won't you obey the Lord, whatever the need might be. You want to come around and pray. And come as she plays, just as you are. Amen. This is a starting point right here. Be that example we need to be. You say, preacher, I'm not sure of my salvation. I'm not saved. Boy, it's time to get it right now. It's time for us to get it right. What an example we can be to our children. Father's Day coming up this month. Mother's Day last month. Need to have some godly mothers, some godly fathers. Be a godly example in these days, the days to come. Always going to have the trials and tribulations. Always going to have the ups and downs. Praise God when you got a godly example, somebody's consistent with the Lord. Just stay with God. Just go with God. Do right. Do right. Christians are praying. Anybody else need to come around and pray? Don't put it off. Don't wait. God. Amen. Trust you obeyed the Lord this morning. Appreciate that. And no doubt the devil would like to see all of us be a failure. Like to see all of us quit. But you know, and that'll be just another illustration for this world. It'll be another, oh yeah, I knew it wasn't going to last. I mean, they'll say that if you've been in here 30 years. Amen. They'll say, I knew it wasn't going to last. Well, seemed like I was on the right track for a while, amen. And, but you know, thank God for He'll give us grace. He'll give us grace to make it through and be that example we need to be, amen. I appreciate the Lord meeting with us this morning, amen. Thank God for His goodness. Anybody got anything to say before we dismiss? Amen. Amen, brother. sir. Amen. Amen. Yes, sir. Amen. Amen, Brother John. Amen. Yes, sir. Amen. Well, remember tonight, come back if you can tonight, being service tonight, 6 o'clock. I mentioned this on Wednesday. We got a special speaker that's going to be with us. He wasn't on the calendar. We got him scheduled here just a couple weeks ago. But like I said, the church Wednesday night, you won't forget his name. Keith Lindsay is going to be preaching tonight. Keith Lindsay. But he's an evangelist from Avon Shelby. I met him some time ago, and he's been working with the Crossroads Rescue Mission for a good while now, and good work over there in Shelby, and he's going in evangelism, and we told him we'd give him an opportunity to preach tonight and be in service. So you come back, come in service, be with us tonight, 6 o'clock, if at all possible, and come praying for the service. Lord, meet with us tonight and give us exactly what we need, and Lord, just bless. And so we look forward to that. And somebody said, I make it kind of confusing over here. If we had a meeting, we have a revival meeting called Keith Lindsay to preach, and they'd think I'm preaching the meeting, wouldn't they? But anyhow, his name's spelt differently. I'm the only one spelt like my name is that I know of. That's Daddy's fault. He's here. Blame him. So anyhow, been good to be here this morning. Amen. Amen. God's good. All the time. Amen. Y'all was about to say it 2 or 3 times when I messaged. It was all right. Amen. Let's be dismissed in a word of prayer. Been a blessing to be in the Lord's house. Shake one another's hands. Appreciate again our visitors being with us. Appreciate you being service with us. Come back and be with us. Amen. And pray the Lord to give you exactly what you need. Amen. We don't always get what we deserve, but I hope we get what we need. And it's not always what we want, but there is some things we need from the Lord. And I pray that the Lord help us be in that direction. Amen. Let's be dismissed in a word of prayer. Amen. Brother Kenny, would you dismiss in prayer, brother?